You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh my God, we made it. We made it, people. We made it to the Friday before the day that's before the day that we all get off.
Huh?
Oh yeah, I'll get off work next week.
It is beautiful outside, despite the fact that it is frigid cold.
It is sunny, it is frigid cold, and if you plan on going out shopping today...
Yes. I think that we need to open the show today with a PSA for any and all last-minute holiday shoppers.
Little grace out there.
That PSA is three words, have some grace.
Yeah.
I was driving in, I was scooting down I-35, and I was passing the 95th Street exit on 69 Highway.
Very busy corridor.
We all know where 69 Highway and 95th Street lead, Oak Park Mall. The backup to get to the stoplight, to turn right, to get to Oak Park Mall... The line was so long that it was all the way onto the highway.
Yep.
And when I drove by, there were already multiple wrecks because people were not paying attention. Slow down.
Yep.
We're all going to get through it.
You know,
it might take you a little bit longer.
The way home the other night, Sam, I was on 435, and there I thought it was a wreck. It turned out, this was last night, it turned out not to be a wreck. It was just two police SUV officers on the right shoulder of the highway helping what appeared to be a stranded motorist. But the backup was so aggressive, you could kind of see the lights way up off in the distance. I thought, this is going to be a wreck. So everyone is getting over.
Couldn't quite tell what was going on.
There is nothing scarier than the moment when you're driving and you see some lights up ahead, and then you look up and traffic on 435 is just stop. Like all of the cars just stop.
Yeah.
Right? I looked in my rearview mirror and just... braced.
Did you turn your hazards on?
I did not, but I braced for impact because I thought I saw all of the line of traffic coming to a stop. Hopefully the car behind me saw it and did. But, you know, five or six lengths back, one person is on their cell phone, it's over.
So that happened to me as well as I was getting off of the highway off of I-35 right here at Shawnee Mission Parkway. All of the people probably trying to get to IKEA. I'm not sure, but it was dead stop traffic all the way back onto the highway, and I thought I was going to get rear-ended by a school bus. Once you drop below that 40-mile-an-hour range and you have traffic coming up behind you, turn your hazards on. That lets them know that you're not going anywhere.
Scare me to death.
Yeah.
Everyone just being very nice. If someone gives you a one-finger wave, wave back with five fingers and say happy holidays.
Smile.
You don't know what that person is going through.
Yeah.
All right, so we spoke with super artist... Jeff Parson yesterday.
Super full of positive energy artist Jeff Parson.
Yep. And promised a scavenger hunt for our listeners in the 2 o'clock hour. And I know a lot of you have been waiting for this. We are going to get right to it. He is going to hide two free pieces of art today. As promised at the top of this show, we are going to start with the incredible drawing of Coach Andy Reid. And he just sent me confirmation. I have confirmation that Coach Reid is now out there free for the taking. It's like an 11 by 15 pencil drawing, if I had to guess.
Yeah, fantastic pencil sketch, heavy detail.
The free
sparkle in the eye.
Art from our Jackrabbit friend is there for the taking now. It is near a Christmas tree, as promised.
Okay.
And he just texted me your first two scavenger hunt clues.
Well, let's drop one now.
We would only ask you, if you go out and find Coach Reid, that you text us in some sort of confirmation so we can tell everyone this has been found.
Take a picture, tag us on Facebook.
100%.
Yeah.
This just came into my phone. Here we go. Clue number one. The Chiefs' future may or may not be heading to Kansas, but this Andy Reid drawing is. Clue number two.
Ooh.
I'm going to give the second because
that
does not narrow it down much. I'm going to give the second clue.
Cuts the listening area in half.
Clue number one, the Chiefs' future may or may not be heading to Kansas, but this Andy Reid drawing is. And then our Dana and Parks scavenger hunt clue number two. Andy Reid is on a mission to make someone's Red Friday.
Ooh.
Say it one more time. Andy Reid is on a mission to make someone's Red Friday.
Seems to be an extra hint in that clue.
Those are your two clues as we start today. That was so fun yesterday. If you missed it, by the way, go back and listen to that podcast.
Just a bundle of energy.
Yeah. He gives away free art all over town.
Because you're awesome.
Does a couple a week. He puts a little sign on it that says free. Why is it free? Because you're awesome. And is spreading positivity all over town.
And he does these drawings in his basement on a stool on a drawing table that consists of a hard surface flat top on top of a Rubbermaid trash can.
That is what he does.
Use what you have.
So very happy. We have so much stuff in the stack today. We have, of course, Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances brought to you by Q39 coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to start with some nostalgia. And there are a couple of stories in the stack about Google Street View. One of the stories involves what is believed to be a homicide. We're not going to start with that. We're in a festive mood today. We are going to start with the other story about Google Street View and why some people love it, why some people say it makes their heart hurt. And I'm going to ask you, have you done this thing? From the New York Post. When you think of preserving memories, scrapbooks or photo albums might come to mind, but what about Google Maps? In a new, somewhat melancholy trend sweeping social media, Gen Z and others are using the Street View feature on Google Maps to find their childhood homes or the houses of long ago past relatives, where photos snapped in yards in years past show loved ones sitting on their porches or gardening in their front yards. I did not know this, Sam, but the Street View feature shows photos taken as far back as 2007. And although this is not a new function, it's being discovered by many for the first time, eliciting bittersweet nostalgia.
So this is a feature that I accidentally found. I think it was sometime last year. I can't exactly remember. But yeah, you can go around, and ever since they started sending that Google Street View car all around every single street in the country, you can go back and pull every single picture that that car has taken of any property. And it's so just a blast to the past.
Your mother could be standing in the front yard,
somebody
is what you're saying.
Somebody who has since passed away could be standing there, maybe gardening, mowing the lawn.
Or your old car.
Yeah.
Or.
Your childhood home that's been, you know, torn down and a McMansion built in its place. You can go back and look at what that home used to look like.
So it goes back about 17 years. And I'm quoting here from one of the users who says, somewhere on Google Maps, my grandma and I are sitting on a bench on the porch of my childhood home while I'm holding my family dog in 2011. Another user who goes by Kenzie Stevens wrote in one clip, forever frozen in time, and I never knew this was right there. Meanwhile, someone else realized their grandfather, who had passed 2 years ago, is immortalized by Google Maps in a Street View image of him riding his lawnmower.
Yeah, by the way, I love that particular image because while his face is blurred out in the photo in the story, as they typically do on Google Maps, they'll go ahead and blur the faces out. It does note that he was looking right at the car as it drove by.
So listen to this. My dad passed away years ago, someone writes, and he's sitting in his truck right in front of the house on Google Maps. I check it out every now and then, like checking in on him. And I ask you, not only have you gone back to look at Google Street View, which I'm going to do right now, but have you gone back physically to knock on the door or see your childhood home, your parents' childhood home, your grandparents' childhood home? You know, I do these interviews from time to time, Sam, for my legacy stuff, and they will say, I had one last week, in fact, someone said they grew up in what would be considered an unusual space. I don't want to give it away because the legacy recording was a surprise, but not what would be considered a single family home, okay? And he said, I went back a couple of years ago, it was still there. And I went back last year and it had been raised to make room for new development. And he said, it actually caught me a little bit. I was like, I grew up there and it's gone, but it's not gone on Google Street View.
So somebody on the text line is asking, how do you do this? I just went back and looked at my childhood home. There were three different photos taken by Google Street View, 2019, 2011, and 2007. We sold the house in 2012. So the first two photos, I can go back and look at what my house looked like when I lived there my entire life up to the age of 13. And then now the most recent photo from 2019, they renovated the whole front of the house. You know, you can tell it still has the same bones, but it doesn't look like it did when we lived in it. How you do it, you Google whatever address you want to look at. Yep. So whatever your childhood home was, you click on the bottom right hand of the screen. There's going to be a little, looks like a guy or a person.
Yeah, a little icon.
It's yellow. You grab him and you drop him onto your house and it'll put you in the street view. And then in the top left, it says see more dates.
Got it.
And it'll pull up all of the pictures that have been taken of your home. And like I'm looking at August of 2007 right now. My grandma's car is in the driveway.
Oh, there's Fredone. Is her your grandma's car in the driveway?
It is in the driveway.
No way.
Yep. And the house looks just like it did when we lived there. None of the renovations have been done. Zooming in, it looks like it doesn't even have the balcony that was on it when we moved out of it. The balcony has not been put on yet in 2007. That's pretty cool stuff.
Well, I don't want you doing this while you're driving because, you know, Dana, I don't know directions. And I'm zooming in. I'm like, there's Fredonia. Where are we from Fredonia? I just found mine and I'm going to click on it and look and see what it looks like over the years. I mean, maybe there are kids in the front yard playing, but have you physically gone back to your house? Or do we live in a day and an age where you're not supposed to knock and say, I used to live here? That'll make me sad.
I have since toured my old home. It's been added on to twice. Now it's even bigger than it was when I lived there.
Okay.
And we, over the years, have met the new owners because that specific neighborhood was one of those neighborhoods where you knew every single neighbor.
Yeah.
So I can still go back to that street and knock on five or six of those doors.
And it's not weird.
They would welcome me in. We would have a cup of coffee and talk about the good old days. It's the type of neighborhood that has block parties. So, I walked up and I said, hey, super weird, but I lived here. The family that I, you know, am from lived here for 60 years. I'd love to see what you guys did with the place.
What I want to do, and I've heard that the person living in the space where I grew up and where my father grew up is maybe not receptive to this, which makes me sad. But what I have always wanted to do is go to the foot of that yard with a metal detector, because my dad says around age 9 or 10, he buried a little tin can, and it was like a cigarette tin that they used to have way back in, you know, the 1960s.
It was like a makeshift time capsule 50s. Of sorts?
Yep. He said, I put army men in it and a couple of other odds and ends and a little note.
Oh, I love it.
I would do just about anything to go find what he buried, you know, 65 years ago.
Now, is this the home that you grew up in?
It's next door to the home I grew up in. My grandparents owned one home, and we owned the other, the farmhouses up on a hill.
Oh, okay.
And he buried that way at the foot of that. But, you know, that would include a shovel and digging.
Yeah, I would knock before I did that.
Trespassing.
Yeah.
You know, but man, I would love to go find that. Have you done it? I'm curious. 913-586-7798. We'll take your call straight in. You are listening to Dana and Parks. Okay, this is addictive. This is super addictive. My childhood home had, and this is not fancy, you know I grew up in Topeka. My childhood home had
North Topeka,
very,
to be exact.
Very small private drive.
Yeah.
And apparently Google Earth Maps people are not allowed to go up there.
Oh.
All there is for all of those years is the street view, and you can't see anything from the street.
Right.
You know, it was probably, you know, just a little rocky drive, but it was fun to look. My house I lived in Leawood for all those years is 100% on here, but the only year I can find so far is from a couple years ago, and my son's car's in the driveway. It's hilarious. Let's go to Angie in North Kansas City about this kind of fun look back into time. Angie, go ahead.
Oh, my gosh, it was such a great experience. Friends of mine tease me because I have no problem going and knocking on the doors of the houses that I used to live in.
You're in.
It's great. But anyway, there's two homes that I've done it to. And one was here in Kansas City at the house we grew up in. And it was a great neighborhood. Sam, kind of like the neighborhood you were just referencing. And I do a calendar every year for my family. And one year, my sisters and brothers and I decided to mix it up. And we took some of our funniest pictures from childhood and redid them. And several of them obviously were in that house or in the front yard. And so me, being who I am, went and knocked on the door and explained to the current homeowner what we were doing. She loved it. She welcomed us in. She gave us a tour. And of course, there were still a couple of the neighbors that we knew, and you know, we got updated on them. Then, of course, we went over to the neighbors that we knew and still visited with them. But she and we got her email address, and we said, if you ever want to sell this house, let us know. And she's just lovely. And then the house that we lived in for a short time in Arkansas, which was our favorite house, I've done that too. And they did a lot of renovations, and we did a tour. And you'll never believe it, but they said, hey, next time you're in town, let us know. We'll get a hotel room, and you can stay here.
You've got to be kidding me.
I am not kidding you. Now, I would never do that, but it was just so sweet.
I love that, Angie. And I guess human kindness and grace never ceases to amaze me. Like, right. I kind of went negative because I know I don't believe the person who lives in my old childhood home would be receptive to it. I've heard some stories. But I love that you had the exact opposite. And that the people went so much further. Like, not only do we love that this was your home, but come stay here.
I know.
That is crazy, but I also love it.
From the text line, I just went back and looked at mine. May of 2009. My mom is in the yard doing yard work. I am crying.
Oh, bless your heart.
Now, I understand the anxiety around going up and knocking on a stranger's door and
it's
literally
not a stranger's
asking
door. It's your
to
house.
Tour their house and, you know, take a look into their life. I had that same exact anxiety. But what are they going to do? Say no?
Yeah.
You know?
And then you just go on with your day. And if they do, you go on with your day.
Yeah.
Let's go to Rick in Pleasant Hill. Hey, Rick.
Hi, how you doing?
So good. Go ahead.
Yeah. A few years ago, the house I grew up in, Grandview, and went up for sale. So some siblings that lived out of state were visiting, too. So my mom is still around, but we all went and toured the house and just reminiscing about, you know, what was in this room, that room. And one of the things is their house didn't have a basement. It had a crawl space. So one of my brothers, we opened the little hatch in the floor in the hallway that was back by our bedroom that I shared with my two brothers. Aww. And went down there and started pulling up things that had been deposited down there, like a couple old beer cans that my dad kind of disposed of down there. And but it was just a fun time to relive that and while going through the house and how much it's changed.
Yeah.
And then couple months after that, my wife and I were driving by and saw the people that own the house sitting outside on the front porch. So I go, hey, let's stop and talk to them. So we did and started talking about the house, how I grew up there. And my dad actually passed away in the house.
I was just going to say, someone has to have a story where someone passed in the house. Did you tell them that?
Yeah, I told them that. And there's son there. I got a little creeped out about it because they were actually sitting in front of the room that he passed away in.
Okay, Rick, did you think like maybe I shouldn't tell them that? I mean, do you look back and think maybe I shouldn't have told them that?
No, but I'm going to let here's the thing that happened before my mom sold the house is this was after my dad passed, and it was in the bedroom that my brothers and I shared. And so my mom had to leave town, so she didn't want the house left alone.
Yeah.
So my brother's wife at the time said she would stay there. And so she was staying there by herself. And a couple of days after my mom got up to Michigan where she was visiting my sister, I get a call from my sister while I'm at work. She goes, Rick, you need to go over to the house right now. And I go, what's going on? She goes, there's something going on with Denise, who was my brother's wife. So I get there, and she's grabbing her bags, and she's running out of the house. And I go, what's going on? She goes, there was a strange man in the house.
You know what? I know where you're going with that, Rick. We are super late for the break. Oh, did she think she saw your dad? I don't know that I would have told the new homeowners that. That's just me.
It's one of those things that, hey, you know, fun fact, my dad died right behind you.
We have breaking news out of Germany. Apparently 60 to 80 people injured by a car that plowed through a Christmas market. Again, in Germany. We will have an update on that when we come back. I believe one suspect is in custody. In the 3 o'clock hour, stick around. We have a decision about the high school basketball player who is desperately trying to get a waiver to play in Liberty. Update on that at 3 o'clock. And then one more clue, free artwork out there for Dana and Parks listeners today. We have your third clue straight ahead. Stick with us. So for those of you asking if you maybe joined us late, just go to Google Earth. Go to Google Earth, type in your address.
Yeah, of your childhood home. Grab the little guy on the bottom right hand of the screen. It's like a
little yellow guy. Looks like the AOL person. Guy.
Yeah. And hover him over your house, drop him. It'll put you into street view. And then on the top left hand of the screen, there will be a black box and click see more dates.
I'll tell you, it'll be an hour of your life you won't get back, but you'll smile. I was like, oh, look, there's my son's car.
You might cry.
You might cry. I don't know. Give us the update in Germany. Very sad. And they are. Is this a terror attack, Sam? Someone plowed their car into a Christmas market in Germany.
I think it's too early to know. That is what went down. They're saying at least one person has been confirmed dead. Some reports are saying up to 60. Others are saying up to 80 injured after this car plowed into a crowd of people at a Christmas market in Germany. Recently.
One suspect arrested. We will keep our eye on that story for you and listen for the latest at the top of the news hour. So I told you we're giving away free art today. One very special, amazing piece showcasing our very own head coach, Andy Reid. And our artist that we had on the program yesterday, Jeff Parson, just loves giving away free art. He has a gift. This is an original Andy Reid signed in pencil. And we promised today a scavenger hunt if you would like to go find the free art. Here are your now four clues. Number one, the Chiefs' future may or may not be heading to Kansas, but this Andy Reid drawing is. Clue number two, Andy Reid is on a mission to make someone's Red Friday. Clue number three, Nassim Johnson is a cornerback on the Chiefs, which is a coincidence when you think about where you will find this drawing. We'll give you clue number four later. Near a Christmas tree on very public property. Happy hunting, if and when you find it.
Post it on Facebook, tag us, tag the Dana and Parks fan page as well. And
just so we can let everyone know, you can stop searching.
We want to see your big, awesome smile.
And then we will have another special fun, free art scavenger hunt, I believe, a little bit later in the program. I'm going to hold the Liberty High School story for 3 o'clock. Let's go to this next story out of Ohio, because you all are going to want to weigh in on this as well. An Ohio funeral home.
Oh, yeah.
Is expected to be the first in that state to start bringing this out during services. From the New York Post, you can now hire a party planner for the dead. And here's the story. If you can't raise the dead, you might as well raise a glass to them. An Ohio funeral home owner says he wants to be a party planner for the dead by opening the state's first bereavement center with alcohol. Evergreen Funeral Cremation and Reception in Columbus hopes to soon have a liquor license to allow patrons to mix mourning with merriment.
Let's do it.
Quoting here from Hunter Triplett, who owns Evergreen Funeral Cremation and Reception. My role in this position is to kind of be a party planner for the dead, be more of a celebration than the multi-day traditional somber service. As his family was applying for the liquor license, Triplett said inspectors told them Evergreen would be the first to serve alcohol at a funeral home in the state. He says, we will only be serving when people are on this premise and remain on this premise just until the continuation of the service. So read that if you are there in your grief and you would like a glass of wine, you can do that. But you can't just pop in like it's a bar.
Yeah, they're not opening up as a bar.
In between services. Correct. And be like, hey, I'd like to have a drink. He says a funeral home bar would not only allow mourners to send off their loved ones in a spirit of, quote, festivity, but would help them save possibly thousands by rolling the whole funeral experience, wake, service, burial, reception, into one package.
Now, I can see all of the concerns with this. I can see why.
Where do I start?
I can see why the pearl clutchers out there. How dare you have a beer or a beverage at a funeral? But I absolutely love it.
We're going to open up the phones for calls on this. 913-586-7798. And here's why. If you are in the funeral industry, most of them would say, this is my guess, the last thing you want to throw into that emotional time with all of the different personalities and all of the different ways that people lose their lives, the last thing you want to throw into that is alcohol. We have had funeral directors call into this program and say, we have had to break up fights. There have been guns brought onto the premise. It is already an emotional time. You throw drunk Uncle George into the mix. Does this not just escalate the possibility of problems?
Now, the fights and the guns are a rarity. It's not like every third funeral we've got people brawling out in front of the funeral home.
Let's say twice a month something comes up where people have to be separated.
That's still an extreme rarity.
Oh, Sam.
Tens and tens of people die every single day.
I think most people who work in a funeral home would tell you alcohol is a very bad idea. And here's why. If this were a great idea, we would see this in every city at every funeral home, and we don't. What does that tell you?
Now, certain states and counties do ban funeral homes from having liquor licenses.
Why?
That's just the pearl clutchers. That's the way that they decided it had to be a sanct space, and it has to be a time of mourning. I don't believe it has to be a time of mourning. I think, quite frankly, I think it's supposed to be a time of celebration for the time that you had with that person.
I would want alcohol at my service. I really would. But I don't think there would be people shooting at each other in my death. You know, I just don't.
But again, that's a rarity. I mean, I've been to quite a few funerals in my life. Never once did anybody in there have a gun, nor did anybody get into a fight. I shared this story earlier on Middays, and my sister's dad passed away 12 years ago. And he was a fun-loving guy. He didn't shy away from a juice box. He lived life in the fast lane, let's say. He was a regular at a number of bars around the city. And so we picked one, we rented out the bar, and we held the funeral in the bar. Free drink coupons, the whole nine. It was absolutely awesome.
Phones are ringing, 586-7798, from one of my dearest friends. If you all aren't drinking at my funeral, then I have failed as a friend, and you are failing me. I love you, girl. 913-586-7798. Alcohol at the funeral home. Are we for it? Are we against it? What do you think? We'll take your call straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks. So, Sam, you're right. There are some states that have banned the service of food or drinks at funeral homes. I don't know that I want to be mixing my embalming fluid with a kitchen. And those states include New Jersey, North Dakota, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, although alcohol at funeral homes has been on the rise in recent years. Quoting here from a funeral home owner in Minnesota, people often use the phrase over and over again that funeral homes were like, quote, a dark, lifeless tomb with a certain smell to them and a certain look to them. People said, when we go, we want to have a party atmosphere, more of a celebration. Quote, so we decided to put a bar in. He put that bar in 2017. And people say, I can't believe you used to keep hearses in here. They no longer say something smells funny.
By the way, you would be shocked by the number of people on the text line saying, well, everybody brings a flask already. Everybody already has coolers out in their car in the parking lot. Yeah. Also from the text line, I have it written into my will that for my funeral, we will be renting out Charlie Hooper's Bar and Grill in Brookside for for the funeral.
Okay, let's go to Dana in Stuartsville. Hi, Dana.
Hello. I absolutely think it should be allowed. Jesus never said don't drink. Fact. I have talked to my pastor. I was telling Samster. I talked to my pastor about having a pre-funeral. And so what that means is if I find that I'm terminally ill in some way that I could, and I'm on palliative care or hospice or whatever, I could have a pre-funeral so I can get all the flowers and all the accolades, and we could have a party before I'm going to die. And then when I die, you could just put me right in the ground. Nobody has to see me embalmed or anything like that. Just throw me in.
I love it. Dana, I love it. I think people agree with you. I really, really do. Let's go to Jim in Topeka. Hey, Jim, go ahead.
Hello there. Yes, I'm old. I happen to remember the wakes, and the wakes were a party and celebration of life. And yes, there was drinking, and yes, there was celebration, and yes, there was some happy times to remember. And that's part of what that we have forgot to do is celebrate somebody's life.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the idea of that coming back again. And maybe it would help all of us get along and understand each other a little better instead of, let's remember some of the good things that happened with that person's life.
Jim, I love it. And it wasn't that long ago, honestly, if you look back to our history, where we just displayed the decedent in the living room.
Oh, yeah.
For sometimes days.
And then buried them in the backyard.
That's not that far removed from where we are.
It's not.
I would prefer to not go back to doing that. We've come a long way. But does it have to be the dark, dank, morose with the gold curtains? Does it have to be that?
And I understand the side of it where it's supposed to be solemn and it's supposed to be special. And in certain ways, it's not supposed to be a rager. And if that's what you want, have that funeral. Have it written into your will that that's the funeral that you want.
Yeah.
But if you want to have a party at your funeral, why not?
Let's go to Candace in Mission. I think you also have to know the crowd. Like, you have to know your audience. Candace, go ahead.
Hi. Well, I guess I'll be the minority report on this.
Go ahead.
I've been to enough funerals where I think the idea of adding alcohol, I mean, honestly, like people have said, people show up with it anyway. They show up already half-lit. I mean, if I understand that this person who's proposing this probably just wants more money, knows that it's happening somewhere else anyway, he's done a good job of marketing it. But I just, it's to me, it looks like a lot of risk, with the only benefit being this guy's going to get more money, but how long will that go until somebody wrecks directly from the funeral home,
right?
And then he's sued.
So yeah.
I don't know.
Do you have to have insurance?
Know.
All that stuff. That's a great question.
Yeah. He's good. Is there going to be a serving limit? I mean, open bar for all of the funerals. I don't know. I think it's a fraught situation, and throwing substances in there is probably a bad idea.
That definitely, Candace, was my very, very first thought. It really was. Let's go to Stephen in Olathe. It's been a while since we've had a chaplain on the air. I appreciate you calling in, Stephen. Go ahead.
Hi there. Chaplain, but I'm not that guy that you see in all the movies that's straight-laced and doing the cross sign of the cross at the grave. I'm very liberal about what I do. I've done this for 30 years, done tons of funerals. I just recently had one a couple of weeks ago. They had been married forever. He passed at 90. The widow's up front. She came up to me earlier and said, "This is the song I want played." My eyebrows went up for 2 seconds, and I said, "Let's do it." People had already been drinking a bit, didn't mind it. When I came time to say, "And here's a song that was special to the two of them," it was "Hot Chocolates, I Believe in Miracles, You Sexy Thing."
I believe in miracles. So, Stephen, you've seen it all, right?
All the way to the end.
You've seen it all, right?
Exactly. The thing that changed my perspective in Southern California, I did a funeral that nobody wanted to do for a Hell's Angels member that had died in one of our ERs. And the coffin was brushed with flames. All of them insisted on having beers in the funeral chapel.
Yep.
They drank toast to him. it completely changed my perspective on things.
Thank you for the call, Stephen. Truly, I appreciate it. Merry Christmas
to
you.
Great point from the text line. If we're worried about people drinking and then getting in a wreck, why do we serve alcohol at wedding receptions?
Yeah.
Why do we serve alcohol at, quite frankly, any major gathering? That risk is there.
I think,
of course, we have to be responsible.
But I think it's because people assume, rightly or wrongly, that emotions are somehow heightened in a negative way at a funeral. And that doesn't have to be the case. I think in some cases, emotions are heightened. Certainly, if we're talking the burial of a homicide victim, that type of thing. That's why I said you kind of have to know what were the circumstances leading up to the death. Do we have warring factions of people involved? I don't
right.
think you serve alcohol at that funeral.
And I'm not saying that you need to be boozing up at every single funeral. But again, if you
how
want
many are
to,
you going to?
Let's why go to, can't you?
Tim the Tire Man, wrap us up. Go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned having the funeral in the living room. I'm out of Wisconsin, Irish background. My dad told us about the time they had it in a house, and they pulled a guy out of the coffin, stood him up in the corner, and everybody drank to him.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for the call. When we get back, we will have another clue in our Dana and Parks scavenger hunt on this Red Friday for Chiefs Saturday. A free artist rendition of Coach Andy Reid.
We got a call, and there are a number of people looking in a very specific spot.
Okay.
Based on the first few clues that we've already
got. One more clue. You are looking for a public space that includes a Christmas tree. One more clue straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Stick with us in the 3 o'clock hour for that.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.